You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Welcome into the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Good morning. I'm Scott Jagow, joined today by a couple of guys who've been here before to answer your questions. The hotline number is 314-436-7900. Again, it's 314-436-7900. We are going to take your questions for the next 2 hours, and we have Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Gents, thanks for coming back.
Yeah. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Scott. Good to be here. Thanks for having us back.
Well, you haven't been on in a while, so Jeff, I'll start with you. Anything new to report?
You know, what was it? Mid-April, and boy, since then, it's just a whirlwind. You know, it's a very busy time in the landscape industry. It, you know, Horstman Brothers were very busy and kind of been through a lot of, you know, good stuff. We've got, you know, most of our flower installation work done, and, you know, a lot of our spring cleanup kind of stuff is winding down, and mulch and all that. But we've been very busy with a lot of good landscape projects, and things are rolling right along. Turf care's in full motion. Irrigation, we're trying to deal with all that stuff too, and you know, we're very busy.
Yeah, I hear these days you guys are busy. How about the seed business?
Well, the seed business, the window's kind of, or the door's kind of closing on that in good faith. It's hard for me to look people in the eye in June and recommend planting seed. It might look good for a couple of weeks, but that hot St. Louis weather, it's not if it's coming, it's just when and with the intensity. And you know, we focus more on improving soil structure and keeping insects and weeds at bay over the next couple of months, and really focus on the seeding jobs to start up again at the end of August, early September.
Okay. So you've got
sod
a couple
jobs
months to
are
do.
Ramping yeah. up, but yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. Let's begin with our phone calls. Margie, you're up first on the Garden Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Just a quick question about mulching your vegetable plants. I bought a bunch of wood mulch for my flowers, but I'm pretty sure that's treated. What's the best kind of mulch for retaining moisture and, you know, preventing as many weeds for your vegetables, for your food plants?
Yeah, Margie, I would recommend you use either just a good compost or leaf mulch. Actually works really well for that situation as well, and it really does help regulate the moisture, and it does a adequate job of helping with weed control as well. So those are your two best options.
Just throw some cut. And now the leaf mulch, are you saying, is that the cut up leaves or just leaves?
Well,
you know,
yeah, it's actually a product. I mean, you can buy it at St. Louis Composting, you know, and I mean, but they, you know, they take the leaves that are ground up and composted, and they, you know, age it and turn it and so forth, and it just, you know, it becomes a real nice organic product. You know, it may not last the longest in your landscape beds, you know, like if you do it in the spring, you may need to do it again in the, you know, later summer or early fall, you know, but for vegetables, I would think it'd be ideal.
Yeah, but that would improve the soil in the long run anyway, right?
Yep. Yes, it is. It's a great way to add organic matter to any kind of bed. Yeah.
I'll go back over there because I bought a bunch of compost for another bed, but I'll go get some of that. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck, Margie.
Good question. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline number. Up next, we have Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
I have planted a hydrangea, first time I've ever done that. I got a lot of plants. It's got some stalks coming out of it that are brown. Do they need to be cut off? This is a new, relatively second-year plant.
Yeah. Mike, so anyway, yeah, those brown stalks are, you know, they're like last year's growth, and evidently it died over the winter, and you can pull those out or break them off. They come out very easily. A few of them in there is really not a problem unless it's a visual issue. You know, they actually can provide a little structure for the new growth to kind of help keep it propped up and vertical, you know. So it's not a problem either way, just a more aesthetics, actually.
Okay, I didn't want to harm the plant. That's the first time I've ever planted the hydrangeas, so.
Those hydrangeas, you know, depending on the type, they can be, you know, pH soil sensitive. So, you know, like if it's a blue one and, you know, to keep it blue, you need to kind of keep the soil on the acid side. If it's pink, you know, you want it slightly neutral or slightly basic, that kind of thing. So anyway.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing. I've got several old peonies, and I don't know if it was because of the late hard winter. They didn't really produce a lot of flowers. Now, I've got the same peonies where I split them off and planted them, and they had a tremendous amount of flowers. Do peonies have a life, basically?
You know, I would say probably not. I know I have a client that actually has one that she swears is over 100 years old. It's been in her family forever.
100 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a life.
Yeah, it's like I have to warn our guys, just leave it alone. You know, we don't want to do anything to hurt that, you know. So I think they can live a long, long time. Certainly, like you said, every once in a while with any kind of perennial like that, digging it up and dividing it can actually improve it or stimulate it, you know. Usually it's recommended to do that in early fall if we're going to do that. One thing on peonies I've noticed, and Glenn, is with the weather we've had, mildew is horrible. It usually doesn't kill them or anything, but it's, you know, usually it's August when they start looking all white. Now, you know, it's, here we are just still in May, and I know mine at my own house, they look white, you know, from all the mildew.
It won't kill the plant. It just makes them look bad.
Okay. Thank you very much for your information.
Thanks for calling in, Mike. We appreciate it. The number to call is 314-436-7900. Jeff and Glenn are here to answer your questions throughout the next 2 hours, and we're going to continue with those phone calls after a short break on 104.1 FM, KMOX. The last Saturday of May, it is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, joined by Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers, and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed, answering your questions today as we hit June tomorrow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
5 months into the year. That is really hard to believe. 314-436-7900 is the hotline number. Up next, we have Bill. Good morning, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi. I have some graveled parking areas in a subdivision that I'm wanting to kill the weeds on. And I'm familiar with how glyphosate works, you know, foliage absorbed thing. The other kind, you know, like Kills All and a couple other brands, they say it's persistent up to a year as far as pre-emergent and all that. and I was wondering, is runoff a big issue, or does that stuff bond into the soil where after a number of days, maybe the runoff isn't much of an issue?
Yep.
Would you know?
Yeah, the runoff is an issue, but it all comes down to one thing, parts per million. So all chemicals aren't the same. You have to read the label, and there's nothing more important when applying any chemical or insecticide or herbicide than the label. If you don't educate yourself, you don't know how to avoid trouble. So your parts per million will determine the degree of potential runoff. If you keep that low on the low side and apply more often, you'll have less potential of runoff. If you want to try to do it once all year, you elevate the possibility of runoff. So you watch the weather, you make the application, and you hopefully time it so it's not going to rain for a couple of days. And that gives it time to set up on the soil and not be as potential to runoff. And then you play it safe and just stay 3 or 4 feet away from any potential trouble. And then you will lessen your possibility of trouble too. So it's not only the chemical, but it's kind of common sense approach as to why you would have trouble. And you stay 3 or 4 feet away, you keep your application low and not around a rainy day, and you won't have any trouble, I don't think.
So if I get a week or so of dry weather, that helps quite a bit, I guess.
Absolutely. And,
yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling, Bill. It is 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline to ask your question of Jeff or Glenn. And Steve is up next. Good morning, Steve.
Hi there. How are you? This is about an irrigation system. I know they say to water the grass deep, but I know it depends on if you have clay soil is what I have. And I know it also depends on what kind of a nozzle you're using to how much water you're putting out. But is there like a general rule, like say run it 15 minutes, 30 minutes for each zone or anything like that?
Steve, kind of a real common recommendation is like 20 or 25 minutes a zone. And like you said, if you got real clay soil, you need to kind of just monitor that yourself a little bit, you know, because once, you know, the clay itself, if you get it really hydrated, it kind of tends to stay hydrated, you know. But it certainly in the summer, and we're not getting any extra rain or anything, it can dry out and really become quite hard and hard to keep moist, you know. So good even watering through the week is good, you know, 2 to 3 times a week probably is a safe recommendation. And again, you know, if you don't really know, I would start with like 20 minutes and then just kind of check how it's doing and see what it's like, you know, probe around, see how that, you know, most of the grass roots are in the top 3 inches of the grass anyway, and see what that's looking like a couple inches deep and check it out.
Okay. So if a guy do it like every day for like 15 minutes, that could end up being too much.
Yeah. That Glenn can say, talk too, yeah. But yeah, we try not to do every day watering. I you know, an only exception I would be is if, let's say you do have like, and I can testify to this, my own yard is kind of probed with this problem, is if you have sod on, you know, 1 inch of soil and it's hard rock right below it, then it might dry out a lot quicker during the summer, just like it may stay really wet during the winter, you know. So that's a special situation. But in general, deeper watering less frequently is preferred for good root development and healthy plants.
And what you have to remember, the amount of water you need now versus July are two different needs. And so I'm a proponent of watering for 2 days in a row on a lawn and then take 2 days off. When you water on Monday and then repeat it on Tuesday, it doesn't ever really dry out until Thursday or Friday. And then if you repeat that 2 day cycle, you're not watering lightly every other day. That's the worst thing you can do, in my opinion, for turf. So,
okay.
It's trial and error, though.
I think it's the guy from Horseman. I don't know if you remember, I was up seeing you the late part of winter this year and showed you some pictures on my telephone.
Yeah,
of my yard, strips.
You drove up from somewhere far away, Southern Illinois or something maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, the grass is starting to come back in there.
Well, good.
It's starting to fill back in. The backyard's come a long way. It's awesome. Really filled in a lot.
Well, you
and I haven't done nothing to it, but let the guy put the fertilizer on it. We aerated it and seeded it.
Yeah.
Once or twice, but the grass is coming back in them spots.
Well, and you've had Mother Nature's helped you a lot up to this point as well. You know, I'm sure you've had a lot of water, you know, so, but like Glenn was saying, Glenn was saying that's going to be important heading into the summer months, you know, then you know, water's going to become the key thing, you know, and keep it evenly hydrated, you know, that would be great.
Yeah.
And like he said, too, don't let it dry out a little bit in between watering, though. That's what Glenn was trying to say there. It's not, you know, we don't want it wet every day, you know. So anyway.
Yeah, but I took your advice and just told the lawn guy, we're just going to try to get grass to grow there this year. And it's working. The grass is coming back.
Well, good, good.
We appreciate the update, Steve. Thanks for letting us know about that. The number to call is 314-436-7900 to ask your questions of Jeff and Glenn. And up next, we have Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Yes, I was wondering how I could keep grasses and weeds out of my iris beds.
Well, there are selective herbicides that you can spray around irises. There's pre-emergence that could help stop the weeds before they start. You almost have to tell me or send me a picture of exactly what you're talking about, but there's a lot of way to attack those weeds selectively without hurting your iris. Getting them early is always better, and maybe just some good old-fashioned hand pulling. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing an IPM or integrated pest management program, and you know, it's exercise and it's rewarding, I think, sometimes just go in and just hand weed some areas and not even use any chemicals at all. But I'm a believer of using pre-emergence more than post-emergence, only because then you stop the problems before they really start. So that's my advice for that anyway.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Up next, we go to Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Great. Thanks for calling.
Morning, Chris.
Thank you. So, two questions. First, best advice for leveling out small, low spots in a lawn, so those little ankle turners places. And then, other question, best time to plug Zoysia?
For leveling the lawn, you can go out there right now with either some loose bags of topsoil or, you know, like coffee ground type topsoil or compost. That might take the immediate leveling into place. But also you have to ask yourself what's causing the unleveling. If it's an erosion problem, you might have to channel your water away or sink a French drain to stop the constant undulations. And then for Zoysia plugs, right now that window has opened up. We were talking about that, what we were going to talk about today, and warm season grasses are coming into their own. You know, they've been very, very slow. I played golf out at the orchards a week ago, and their Zoysia was only about, I was guessing, about 80 to 95% awake. It wasn't even out of total dormancy. So I jokingly tell people, you don't want the first batch of Zoysia out of the sod farm. You want the second batch because that's the healthiest. So I'd probably wait two more weeks before I would try to plug Zoysia lawns right now.
Okay. And then once you plug it, is that a water every day? Or for about a week, or about how long would you really want to nurture that?
Yeah, I think water every day for maybe 2 weeks, depending on what Mother Nature gives us or what the temperature is or how windy it is. There's some variables, but you just want to make sure those plugs, because you're only going to have an inch or two of roots, don't dry out in between taking off. And once you've mowed them a couple of times, which is usually after about 2 weeks, then you can back off the water. When the warm season grasses love to be fertilized right now, June, July, and August. So it's totally opposite than our cool season friends. But, water it every day for a couple of weeks and give them a good shot of fertilizer the day you plant and then maybe 30 days later.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Chris. We appreciate the call. We are at your service. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Up next, we have Jim. Good morning, Jim.
My question is about nut sedge. I read somewhere that you shouldn't use the same brand every year or the same active ingredient because the weed becomes effectively immune to it or it's ineffective. And I was wondering if you agree with that and if you have recommendations on two or three different products that can control it. And second related question is I also read that you shouldn't pull it because it effectively spreads it more. And just wondered your opinion on those.
Yeah, I get nut sedge questions for the next 60 days like crazy in there. I don't know about if I agree about the chemicals not being effective by using the same one, but there are three basic chemicals, in my opinion, that are the best. And it's halsafuron, sulfentrazone, and then a product called Vexus, which is a granular product. So we have a lot of clients that mix the two active ingredients and have good luck with that because one kills the nut sedge quicker. That's sulfentrazone. That'll yellow it up in 2 or 3 days, whereas the halsafuron might take 7 or 10 days. But if you have it in the lawn and you want to do a granular application when it's 100 degrees, that's the difference in being able to spray something versus spread something. And so just remember that nut sedge control is a total marathon. There's no sprint about that. It is the most aggressive weed, I believe, in the lawn today. And that season is waking up, and it's going to continue all summer. So just know that it takes multiple applications a couple of weeks apart, and it might even take a couple of years to do that. So there's no quick fix for that whatsoever. Just you have to be patient. That seems to be a theme around here. You have to be patient and rotate chemistry if that makes you feel good, and try different blends of products also if you want to try something different.
Could you please repeat the three products or ingredients?
Yeah, there's something called sulfentrazone, and then there's something called halsafuron, and then the other product is called Vexus, V-E-X-I-S. Don't ask me to spell the other two. There's no way I could do that.
Okay. I'll figure them out.
You can look them up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, they're pretty common chemicals.
All right, thanks for calling in. It's 314-436-7900. That's the Garden Hotline, and Jeff and Glenn are here to answer your questions as we roll on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Today's guests, we have Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed, answering your questions at 314-436-7900. We've got some people waiting to ask their questions, starting with Bunny. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a lilac bush. I think they're lilacs. I don't know what's lilac and what's... I think they're lilac. Anyway, they have that fragrance. It's huge, and it's many bushes. I cut it down a few years ago. When I cut it all the way down, it didn't bloom for 2 years. Now it's huge, and of course, the flowers have already bloomed. Should I cut it back or let it go?
Hey, Bunny, if you want to prune that, you know, now would be good. You know, they'll set buds and later in the summer, and, you know, it'd be better to go ahead and prune it now and let it grow again and be ready for blooming next spring.
Okay, great. And I have a peony bush that I want to move. I should wait till fall to do that.
Yeah, like September's prime time for that. You know, not really late fall, but, you know, do it like September. And you can cut it back at the same time and move it, but water it in, and it will actually kind of root in on the warm soil and be ready to go for next spring.
Oh, great. Can I cut it back now, or do I have to wait until the leaves change?
No, don't cut it back now. It needs to, you know, grow and photosynthesize over the summer, and but by September you can cut it back
and move it.
Yes.
Okay, and I have one more little question. My boxwood has discoloration on the leaves. It looks like it's sunburned, but it isn't, of course.
You know, Bunny, that could be a lot of different things. You know, there's, I don't know, when you say sunburn, are you actually talking, does it look kind of orangish, or what's it
No,
doing?
It looks kind of pale yellow.
Okay, pale yellow. There are, okay, so it could be an insect issue. There's several insect issues it could have. It could be even just some winter damage that, you know, it got hit over the winter, and it's going to take a little time to flush out. Either way, I would tell you some fertilizer would be good. And if it's, there is an insect called boxwood leaf miner. It's very common. You can use a granular systemic type product to help with that. And that's an easy way for a homeowner to deal with that if you want to do that yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye.
Thank you for calling, Bunny. It is 314-436-7900. And Tim, you're up next. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Morning, Tim.
I have a 20-year-old pin oak tree, beautiful tree in the front of my house, probably 25 feet tall. And I know the best time to prune it a little bit is in the fall. And I was just wondering if I could trim a few of the, I call them fingerlings, the smaller little branches that are kind of getting too low for me, if that would be okay if I did that now. You know, I'm not talking maybe a dozen of them, maybe a couple, 3 feet long. And like I said, they're not major branches, or would I do harm to that tree?
Tim, you know, with the oak, I mean, you know, really, it might not do a thing. And I would also tell you, if you do choose to prune it, sterilize your pruners and stuff like that, you know. But we worry about trimming oak trees in the summer because of the oak wilt, you know. And anyway, that's why it's really recommended to do that in the fall or winter, you know, dormant conditions. So,
right.
It, you know, I guess the real answer is to tell you, if you can be patient, just wait and do it. You know, it'd be the safest thing to do. If you choose to trim it now, I would definitely sterilize your pruners in between cuts a little bit, and or, you know, do that. And yeah, that kind of thing.
Right. But, when you say sterilize your pruner, how to go about that?
Rubbing alcohol is easy. You know, that's probably the easiest thing to use. You know,
the bleach wipes.
Okay, I never thought of that.
Yeah, or bleach wipes, you know. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Tim. We appreciate the call at 314-436-7900. That is the number for you to call and ask your question of Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers or Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Glenn, we're getting into June, so you were mentioning earlier you kind of have it's time for a little break on seeding. So what do you do the next 2 months?
Yeah, for us, our main recommendations are to feed the soil and build soil structure. And you do that by using organic-based fertilizers, whether there's human waste products like Milorganite, and there's chicken products, there's plant products. But if you lightly feed the grass without causing surge growth, you'll minimize your fungal activity because you won't have succulent cells that are thin-celled walls and rapidly expanding. You'll keep the turf green, but you won't be adding to your fungal problems. But anytime you use an organic-based fertilizer, you're actually helping build the soil and the microbes. And there's products that actually do nothing but feed the soil. There's a product called C20 out there that does nothing but feed the soil. It's not a fertilizer. C20 stands for carbon 20. It's a wheat and rice middlings byproduct that again won't cause any stimulation of growth, but will increase the microbial activity in the soil. You can get the same thing done with compost as well. It doesn't hurt to top dress along with compost in the summer, as long as you don't do it on a 95-degree day and you got some water to water it in. But building soil structure is important. And then the other thing that we're on the lookout for June, July, and August are insects. There's a lot of tick and mosquito activity, and there's a lot of the mosquito beater people are out there spraying products to help keep fleas and ticks at bay. And all that is something that you have to do when it's hot and dry. You know, they're not going to be as active in the wet and cool, but they're really going to come into their own here shortly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shortly.
Backyard like activities are a lot more enjoyable without ticks or mosquitoes flying around, that's for sure.
Well, we're taking your questions at 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline. And Margaret, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is about asters. Can I cut them off and then they would still, you know, keep them from getting so tall before they bloom in the fall?
Margaret, that's a good question. I don't really, I mean, I haven't heard of that or anything, so I don't know that I would. I mean, mums, of course, you can pinch back now and they'll rebud and grow for the fall. I'm not real sure about just, you know, regular perennial asters. I'm really not sure. I'd have to look into that.
You might just trim half of them and see what happens side, and then you got a 50-50 shot of being right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
good luck, Margaret.
Thanks for calling in, 314-436-7900. We will continue with your phone calls on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Stay with us. We are taking your questions this morning. Jeff and Glenn are here. Jeff from Horstman Brothers, Glenn from Robinson Seed. And the number to call for your question is 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Hello. I have, last year I planted a banana tree, and this year it's I have a couple sprouts coming out about a foot away from it. What's the best way to remove those sprouts and transplant them?
Paul, you know, I actually, it's been a few years, but I had a client that had banana trees like that, and I think now you can just go ahead and use a sharp knife and cut those off and go ahead and move them. It is a curious or, you know, an unusual kind of plant for St. Louis. Did you mulch it this winter? I'm always curious what you did to get them to come back.
Well, I put about a foot of leaves on it, threw about one bag of mulch on it, and another foot of leaves on it.
Wow.
And it came back fine.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good because, you know, we were cold in, you know, January anyway, was actually very cold. We had a little frost in the ground in January. So anyway, I think you're okay to, you know, divide that off right now and replant it and, you know, obviously keep it hydrated and, you know, get it off to a good start.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Up next, we have Gene. Good morning, Gene.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a red bud, a flamethrower. It was about 3 years old, I guess. And I don't know if the cicadas did a number on it or what happened, but now the top half of it is dead. But it appears that the bottom half is still alive because I do have some limbs with some good-looking foliage on it. And I also have some sprouts coming up from the bottom of the tree. Mm. So I'm wondering, did I lose the tree, or is there something I could just do to, I don't know, about removing the top half of the trunk? I mean, again, the tree was only like 3 years old, so it was a young one.
Okay, so... Gene, is the bottom half that's got leaves, is it the typical, you know, the flamethrower type leaf? I'm trying to understand where maybe the tree was grafted or that kind of thing. But yeah, so if it's the dead part, if by now it would have leaves. So you know, you're going to need to prune off the dead half and then just probably be patient with what you got left and see what it does if it develops back into a nice tree.
You
know, it might end up looking more like a bush, you know, to be honest, is really what it may be, you know.
Yeah. And when in doubt, you can always get a certified arborist to come out and take all that heavy thinking away from you. They'll give you advice.
If it's only like 3 years old, how tall is it? Or
it was only, you know, I just bought it in a relatively small pot from a good nursery. It's probably just, you know, it was probably only 7 or 8 feet tall. Mm. So I'm down half of that. So, you know, it's roughly 4 feet tall now.
Yeah.
But it's like the trunk and everything on the top. We also had some other damage from the cicadas on the top. We had just planted a little dogwood. Kind of the same thing happened. The top part died. So, I don't know. I guess it doesn't hurt to cut that off and see if I can keep it. But it might be a bush.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it might. But you know, it doesn't sound like give up on it yet, so I'd see what you get.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Gene. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900. Let's go next to Dorothy. Good morning, Dorothy. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have a couple questions, and I think they're all pretty quick. First of all, I'm trying to reclaim a garden from onion grass and various other weeds, and I have muscari and tulips in there. And I'm wondering, when I dig it up, how can I tell? I know how I can tell the tulips from, but muscari, how can I tell those bulbs from onion grass bulbs? Is there a way?
I don't know if you'll be able to. Muscari's won't.
I could be wrong, but the muscari's really more of a tuber, right? It's like a liriope kind of thing. So, right. I don't think it'll look like an onion bulb, you know.
Okay. And then my next question is, what's the difference between vermiculite and perlite?
Oh, they're totally different from what I know. It's one's brown and one's white.
Yeah, vermiculite's actually like a mica, you know, right. The mineral mica, you know, And perlite is...
It's a manufactured product.
I think it's a... I was going to say, I think that's a synthetic, you know, made product.
And that's, from what I know, perlite will last a lot longer than vermiculite. Vermiculite will break down a lot quicker.
Like a lot of times if you look in potting soil and you see the little white prills, those are perlite, but I think that's actually a manufactured product. I could be wrong, but you know, that's a difference, I think.
So I put new dirt in this garden, I'm reclaiming what I want to put in, the perlite or the vermiculite with... I want to do a mixture of compost and potting mix and maybe some vermiculite. I'm not sure, or perlite. I'm not sure what else would be good to mix in there.
You'll get perlite in with your pro mix if you mix that with your compost. And I think pro mix and a compost would be a good mix. And whatever the manufacturer gives you, you get. I wouldn't go out of my way to buy a bag of straight vermiculite for any reason. I don't see the benefit of that.
Okay, and in pots, the same mixture would be good, the perlite and the
compost,
potting mix and the compost?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd just buy a good potting soil, right, and be done with
simple.
It. What I would do, but anyway.
Sure.
Well, Mike used to not like the potting soil. He always said that was too dense, because it kind of gets thick and clumpy. And he liked the potting mix better. So that was why I was going with potting mix.
Yeah, good potting soil. I mean, there's probably all kinds of brands of them. Yeah,
if you want to add to your drainage, get some calcined clay. It's a pretty common product called Turfus. That adds to your drainage.
Especially if you put that in the bottom of the pot.
Yeah, put it in the bottom of the pot for positive drainage or rocks or something else.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, and it's called Turfus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Turface.
Turface.
I like spelling the easy names.
Okay.
Come on, Highwood.
All right. Okay, I think that takes care of my question. Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Keep it simple, Dorothy. Don't overthink it.
That's usually the answer when it comes to gardening, isn't it?
Sure.
Keep it simple. Glenn, you also mentioned earlier irrigation. What did you want to address on that?
On the turf side, my common problems that I see are people thinking that they're watering their plants and their grass at the same time, and they're two different root systems. Like Jeff said, the root system in turf is only about 3 inches to 4 inches deep, and plants that are established, especially, large boxwoods or hydrangeas we've talked about, you could probably irrigate those twice a month, but people will want to over-irrigate. I think over-irrigation is more of a problem than under-irrigation, to tell you the truth. So if you realize that you can't use a irrigation system to water established plants and your turf, you just have to break those zones up and get proper irrigation established. That's what I see as the biggest problem in the summer.
Glenn Kramer, he's from Robinson Seed. We also have Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers Landscaping. They are here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. We have another hour to go. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX. It is hour two of the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX. Our guest today answering your questions, Jeff Kendall from Horstman Brothers Landscaping and Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. We've gotten a lot of questions so far this morning and good ones at 314-436-7900. That's the number for you to call and ask your question. In the next hour, as we continue on, we are almost to June, fellas. That's tomorrow. That's hard to believe. What are some things we need to think about, Jeff, as we get into June?
Well, we've kind of talked about a couple things. I mean, in terms of, I'll save the turf stuff for Glenn. I'll talk about landscaping. In terms of landscaping, we want to make sure that our new annual flowers that people planted stay properly watered and fertilized. They should be fed, if you use like a liquid fertilizer type product, probably at least once a month and, maybe even every other week or something works out really well. That some, depending on the type of flower, you may need to start doing some deadheading, removing spent blossoms, that kind of thing. June's still a good time to prune things before it gets real hot, you know, like even your boxwoods and stuff. You know, right now, if you need to do a shear of boxwoods, I'd do it in the next week or two, really, or a couple weeks, you know, before it gets real hot. Otherwise, wait till September. Try to avoid that in, you know, August and July if we can. They can get burned. Let's see. Good time to fertilize our shrubs, you know, with just organic type fertilizer, you know, Milagronite or Thrive or, you know, other products that you can get. Pruning, planting's still good, you know. I mean, if the plant's above ground and can be installed, it's a great time to keep planting.
Still planting?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. So, yeah, I don't we don't see a real slowdown in our portfolio of business, really. You know, July and August, it may taper off a little bit just because of certain segments of it, you know, with the heat or summer. But really, we stay busy all summer long. You know, so.
How about on the turf side there, Glenn?
My main advice for that is on your cool season lawns, if you're not mowing at 4 inches, you should be. And what we'll see is a decline in the rapid growth because it's starting to get a little warmer and it's hopefully the rain isn't as bad. But weekly mowings will probably be okay. You know, remembering to try to just remove 1/3 of the leaf blade at a time. Grub control is something that you should be having you or your landscaper do that during the month of June. You know, it's I get the questions about grub control and moles, and you know,
moles.
I'll preach till my end of my days that moles and grubs have nothing to do with each other. The moles will eat the grubs, but it's just part of the buffet. When you have moles, you're mainly they're eating earthworms and. There's no proof whatsoever that getting rid of or using a grub control has anything to do with getting rid of moles. So that really bothers me. that's one of my pet peeves.
It's a pet peeve.
It sure is.
Glenn, one thing on the turf side I think we ought to bring up is, you know, we've had this lush, cooler, green, you know, weather, and that can present its own kind of fungal problems, and most of those cool season fungus problems aren't usually considered to be really critical issues. But why don't you talk about what might happen when we jump up and into the low 90s and have some humid nights?
Yeah, those nighttime temperatures and coupled with the humidity and the daytime temperatures will incubate the spores, and we can't do anything about spores. They're out there, and then we can't do anything about the weather. So when we use preventative fungicides, know that they only last in the plant for about 25 or 28 days. So you have to reapply about every 25 to 28 days, and you should rotate chemistry after two applications. Your third application shouldn't be what you used in rounds one and two, usually. And rotating chemistry and knowing that you're only temporarily suppressing what that fungal activity looks like is important, you know. Most fungal activity just is an appearance thing. It doesn't really kill the plant down to the root. It stops at the soil level, and it just makes the grass look bad. So I always tell people, consider the cost of fungicides versus the cost of good aeration and seeding. They'll cost about the same for a season long of fungicide applications, but you get more bang for your buck by aerating the lawn and providing different species and varieties of seeds, and that'll make your lawn healthier than a bunch of fungicide applications.
Interesting. Okay. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. And Donna, good morning. You're up next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to ask you, I have been trying to find a dwarf Jonathan apple tree in this area of ours here in St. Louis, and it's nowhere to be found. I was told that this particular apple doesn't grow well in our area, which disappoints me a lot. Anyway, in my search, I learned there is a smaller tree. I'm looking for a small tree, and I learned there are apple trees that grow in a columnar shape. So I was just going to ask you, do you know of any varieties that might be in the columnar shape that would be similar maybe to the Jonathan apple?
Donna, I really don't know off the top of my head. We'd have to consult our old iPhone friend.
Yeah, the Forest Keeling folks, from what I know, they're kind of they're a local nursery, and they lead the way, in my opinion, for fruit trees and what I would call unique trees like that.
What was the name of that company again?
Forest
what
Keeling.
What was the name of it?
Forest Keeling, Forest-Keeling. They're up on North Highway 79.
Yeah. How do you spell that?
Forest West Keeling?
No, Forest-Keeling, K-E-E-L-E-I-N-G, I believe. Yeah.
I'll give them a call.
Okay. Tests are getting tough, man.
For your help. Have a good day.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Donna. We appreciate it. Let's go to another call. Tom, good morning. You're on with Glenn and Jeff.
Yes, good morning. I just got some pawpaw trees from Forest Keeling, and they are really wonderful to work with. So I would highly recommend those people. They're good folks. I missed your first hour today, but I just heard you talking about moles. Okay, what's your best advice on getting rid of those critters?
Well, I'm a guy. This is a show me state, and poisons and baits are okay. But if you use traps, you don't have to guess if you got the mole or not. In the scissors trap, all the activity is below the soil, so it's safe around kids and dogs, in my opinion. And you can get those metal scissors traps that you step on. And if you want to know for sure you got the mole, you don't have to guess. When you use worms or baits or poisons, it's all a guessing game, because those poisons take 3, 4, maybe even 5 days for it to control the mole. And, you know, it might take a month. But if you use a trap, you could probably clean your yard up within a week or so. Because, again, if you set a mole trap today and you don't have a dead mole tomorrow, reset the trap, because they're habitual. They do the same thing over and over again. So if the run is active and you set the trap properly, you will kill a mole usually every single time you set the trap properly.
Okay, very good. Is there a name brand for the scissors trap, or you just
the mole eliminator is a step-on metal trap? There are plastic options of that, and I don't recommend those whatsoever. They're very cheap and not effective at all. But there's a product called the mole eliminator that. That I know of that to be very effective and proud to sell.
Very good. Okay. I had the solar emitting sounds, you know, that you stick in the ground, and they worked for a year or so, but I guess the moles got used to those, and they don't.
It's like music art, a lullaby to them.
They went deaf.
No, so, yeah, those are just called nuisances. Same thing with the castor oils or the smells. They don't kill the mole. They just drive the mole away until the smell or the sound stops being emitted, and guess what? They just come right back, so.
Well, I want them to go over to the neighbors, you know. And that just
sure. Really no, yeah, I'm love sure thy neighbor. Love sure.
Well, if you have moles, you might have a water or a wood source close, and mom and dad are having babies where they're safe, and we get the offspring into our yard. So, you know, quote unquote, getting rid of moles is just temporary. They usually find those same fissures in the soil and come right back to the earthworm. So it's you know, actually moles are kind of a sign of healthy soil. So in some ways they're an indicator that you have good soil, which we want. But yeah, if you don't like them, I'm a trapper, not a poison person personally.
Not to mention you get something for the Barbie then. Share those recipes with us, Glenn.
And skin them out too. Oh, they bring a lot of money,
I think we're getting far afield here.
Say, look out. Focus, Jeff. Focus.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We're getting, you know, it's that time of year. Moles are always a popular topic on this program. Yep. And speaking of neighbors, one time I had a mole problem and we tag teamed it.
Yeah.
So we work together instead of the other way around.
It kind of comes to those traps that bring in the June bugs. Yeah, you want to give those to your neighbor. Let your neighbor hold the June bug trap. You don't want them in your yard. Let your neighbor have that trap, and they'll find those hormones in there and congregate over there. But teaming up with the neighbors is important, because rarely do they just stay to one yard.
Sure. That is Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Also, Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers Landscaping here to answer your questions on the Garden Hotline, which is 314-436-7900. We'll continue in just a moment. 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
It is the
ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. Our guest today answering your questions, Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed and Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers Landscaping. The number to call and ask your question is 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Gene. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. I love this show, and I've gotten a lot of good information in the past. I want to make a comment about the moles. We bought those traps with the scissors, and you won't believe this, but they went around them.
You got the smart moles.
They went around them. We also, this was 2 years ago, we had someone come, and he was supposed to be very good at getting the moles. He came to the yard, and he said, oh, yes, you have moles, but usually it's just one or two that's making all these runs. So he started. He got one mole. He got two moles. He got three moles. He got four moles. He got five moles. And he could not get over it. So we decided to live with them. And what I do, and I love a good lawn, what I do is I mow my lawn at 4 inches and sometimes 4.5, so it does not show all those horrible runs. And that's the end of my story.
Okay. That's a great story.
I thought you were going to say you named the moles, that you just learned to live with them, and we got accustomed to named them Joe and Charlie. But, yeah, any way to just live with what nature's given us is probably better for nature and ourselves.
What that five moles, what'd that run you? What'd that cost, Gene?
You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
$550.
Yeah, I was betting it was, wow. Yeah.
It's $110 per mole.
And the kicker was, he seriously did this all the time. And he was serious about the fact that it's usually one or two moles. Mm-hmm. And that's what he couldn't get over. And I told him at the beginning, I know I've got more than that. You know, and he kept saying, oh, no, no. So anyway, that's my story. The end.
Everybody lives happily ever after. Yeah. That's great.
That's great. Yeah. I'm glad it's working for you, Gene.
Yeah, Gene.
Thanks.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in. The number to call in and ask your question, whether it be moles or something else gardening related, 314-436-7900. That was a well-told story, I got to be honest. We got mole one, mole two, mole three. That was funny. That's an interesting idea, you know, just living with them. I mean, it is. I have had them when I had a big yard, and it is hard to do. It's hard because you look in your yard and you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
It's just destroyed by these things. But I guess if you can cover it up, I mean, what do you think, Glenn?
Well, and I just question whether you can walk on those and not twist an ankle from time to time. And that depends on how high the runs are, how fit you are. There's a lot of variables. But even at 4, 4.5 inches, the runs I've seen, you still would scalp off the top inch of your grass and cause weeds to grow there.
Hmm.
And so, but again, you know, this thing with nature and, you know, the definition of a weed is any plant growing where you don't want it. So, you know, if you have a few runs and you have a few weeds and you're living with the moles at the end of the day, I guess it doesn't really matter. But yeah, but five moles in 1 yard, I've heard of that too, you know. And again, there's always a woods or a water source. There's always a source for mom and dad to have those babies. They don't parachute into the yard. They crawl into the yard, and they come from a source. And so, that's an interesting concept, though. But I didn't know moles were that expensive to eliminate. I might look in retirement, get into the mole elimination business. That sounds pretty lucrative.
Well, is that something you deal with, Jeff, with landscaping?
Hey, we Glenn and I were talking. We do a limited amount of mole control for, you know, we need to for, you know, some of our full service type lawn customers. You know, we can do the baits or the traps. And we were talking, a scissor trap does seem to be the best, most effective way. And like Glenn was saying, then the people know they got one, they have one. We don't really charge like a per mole thing. You know, it's usually more just a kind of a fee to set them up and then to check them and move, you know. So, but I have heard it, you know, like over $100 a mole's kind of the going rate, you know.
Yeah. I remember I had one of those scissor traps, and I remember waiting all day long, like for water to boil, just staring at the yard. And then I'd look back. I mean, I would look, and there's nothing, and then nothing, and nothing. And then all of a sudden, I looked out, and there it had popped up.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. You know, with that said, and tying into what Glenn and I were talking about, though, if the homeowner can do that, I think that's better. You're going to have better odds, you know, of success, because like Glenn and I were talking on our end. It's not the best thing we do, because to really monitor them, you need to be looking at them every day. And, you know, we're not out there doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're, you know, guys, we just don't have resources to send somebody dedicated to go check the mole traps every day. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers Landscaping. We also have Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. And the number to call to ask your question, 314-436-7900. Up next, Bob. Good morning. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. You're talking about the cost of getting rid of a mole. Well, we have a farm, and I think we have moles enough to take in, classify as being a herd. Is that too bad? Is that we can take in opportune and sell them on open market. Well, however, is that, yes, they do take and tear up the soil. So while I was heading over to take and start mowing grass, is that I happened to step in some of that loose soil. It ended up tearing my meniscus in my left knee. Right. So is that if you want to look at the fact, is that is it worth $100 per mole versus is that having to take and deal with a torn meniscus? Yeah, I think one outweighs the other one.
You got that right.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for letting us know. Do you know what a group of moles is called?
Oh, no.
It's one of those Google questions. It's called a labor.
Oh, wow. Really?
Labor? This is likely due to their industrious and tireless nature as they tunnel through the earth. Hmm. A group of moles is called a labor. Learn something new every day on the Garden Hotline, I'm telling you.
You know what they say about trusting that internet, though?
Yeah. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
All right, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to ask your questions. We'll continue with Glenn and Jeff in just a moment. 104.1 FM, Cam Wex. It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, 104.1 FM, Cam Wex. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline number to call to ask your question of Jeff and Glenn. Glenn is from Robinson Seed, and Jeff's Kendall is from Horstman Brothers Landscaping. Let's go next to Donna. Good morning, Donna.
Hi. I have two questions. One is, a neighbor gave me some irises that she's divided and thinned out. Do I need to get them in the ground right away, or how long do I have before I need to get them in the ground? I was thinking it was a fall thing, but I'm not sure.
You know, Donna, I have experience with that. I mean, if they were recently dug up and divided, you can go ahead and plant them right now, and they'll get going, you know.
Okay.
I guess theoretically, I think that'd be the best thing. Just go ahead and plant them, you know.
In the ground. Okay.
Right. You know, to be quite honest, I think if you buy them just as a tuber, they probably harvest them in the dormant state and let them dry out a little bit, and then they keep them that way. But since those are actually got live leaves on them and so forth, yep. I think you get them in the ground and let them get going.
Okay, thank you. And also, is there any way to get rid of violets in the lawn?
Getting rid of violets is trying to get rid of moles. It's a slow, methodical process. But there's a product called Terflon ester or triclopyr is very effective. There's a combination product called Sublime that has both mesotrione and triclopyr together. When you read the label, which is, again, the most important part of any chemical, you'll read the label. There'll be an asterisk next to violets, and it'll say multiple applications 2 to 3 weeks apart. So it's never going to be just one application. You never have a violet. And on the personal side, I've been dealing with violets for me and my neighbors. And I'm really proud of myself for about 2 months, and then slowly but surely they appear somewhere else. So just know that there's never one application, and there's never really 1 year where you'll get rid of the violets completely. But just stay on top of them, and you'll slowly but surely feel better about it.
The product is Sublime you would recommend?
Yeah, S-U-B-L-I-M. Okay.
And, you know, I know they're going to – I don't really mind them in the backyard. I just – the side and the front, because I know my neighbors probably aren't very happy that it looks like this. Yeah. And I have a small front yard, so I thought – I could at least get them gone in the front yard. So, but I'll work on it. Thank you so much for your help.
One thing I'd tell you, and I'm sure Glenn will agree, it's a process, like he said, in multiple applications. And, you know, if you can get them early in the spring, they're more vulnerable. Right now, their leaf is hardened off, and they're hard to kill. But early fall or fall before we get a real freeze is the best time. We have a lot of success with dealing with that, and it's key to get a herbicide down in late October, mid to late October, before they go dormant, and they're quite vulnerable at that time.
Yeah, correct.
All right, I will work on that. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks for calling in, Donna. Up next, we go to Jim. Good morning, Jim. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, well, I figured we're on the deal about moles, you know. So, anyway, I don't know. I've got plowed ground out here with so many moles, but I'm not one of these energetic people to try to get rid of them. But I had a neighbor. He passed away. But at the time, it's been just a couple of years ago anyway, that he used to get out there. Well, he'd find the mole run. He'd put a chair out there, go out there at 5 o'clock in the morning, sit there and wait for that mole to run. And anyway, he would, you know, with a shovel, he'd get them. He'd get a mole. And that year, he got 63 moles.
Wow. How many beers did that take, Jim, to get that?
I mean, this guy was honest as the day is long, so I believe him on what he said, you know, that. But I do have a cat that does. She'll catch moles, mm-hmm. you know, like that. But trouble is, don't catch enough.
that's great, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
63, holy cow.
He can make a coat.
All right, let's continue with the phone calls. Glenn, you're up next on the Garden Hotline with Glenn and Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jim just took away some of my thunder. I had a mole story as well. When we moved out into the country, we had a few moles, but we also had cats, and the cats took care of them. I'd say they got 4 or 5 of them. And they've never come back. They'd kill them and bring them up to the house. They didn't need them, but they would kill them and let us know that they got them.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So good get cats.
Yeah. Cats, okay. All right. Thanks for the tip, Glenn. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900 is the number to call. If you have a question or a story, I'm telling you, moles, every single time, once the mole train starts running, you can't stop it. We're going to talk a lot about moles. Let's go next to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Jim's.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim.
I got a mole story for you.
Oh, no.
Told you.
I had moles, of course, in my yard, and then my yard backs up to a hill with woods. And I always had a soft spot from rain there. So I put a French drain in of about 125 feet, filled it with rock. All of a sudden, the moles stopped coming. They couldn't get past that rock. My neighbor then did the same thing to his yard, only he used metal sheathing to dig down with. And then that seemed to stop all the moles from coming into the yard.
Hmm. Well, you heard of that one, Glenn?
I've heard of that, but I haven't heard of it lasting very long because moles are pretty hungry and they'll find a way in to get those earthworms. But if it worked for him, that's great. Yeah, happy for you.
Stop spamming
boots.
Yeah,
it's been 4 years for me and my neighbor, and so far no moles.
That's impressive. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, healthy lawn and no torn knees. That's I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in, Jim. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's go next to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Appreciate your
morning,
show.
Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, I'll climb on the mole train real quick. My son's got them bad. Just other than cosmetic, do they really do any damage or just kill the grass or you know, does he need to get rid of them? He doesn't have them too bad, but I'm just curious on that. I got a couple other questions.
Okay, well, that's a good one.
Yeah, Mike, you know, the damage is, like Glenn was saying, you know, if they hump up the ground and you go to mow, next thing you know, you're scalping it off and so forth, that's a problem. The other thing is, you know, any hollow void in the ground after we get enough rain, you know, it starts to become a erosion issue, you know, eventually. So that's something else to consider. You know, but like Glenn was saying, they can be a sign of good, healthy soil and lots of worms, which are normally considered beneficial. So, you know, everybody's different, you know.
It's a personal choice. But if you want to get rid of them, try to get rid of them. If you don't live with them like the one lady did.
So, all right. I'm good with the latter. But, and now if I could pick your brain on it, I have a patio 20 by 20 concrete that, you know, you buy them at big block stores, sitting on a rock base and the water. I have a pancake flat yard. If I want to run a drain, you know, put like maybe one of those garage channel drains or somewhere meets the house and then direct that towards the back of the yard, the plastic 4-inch pipe laid on rock, covered with a sleeve, a gentle slope, is that the best way to go? Can you give me some advice on getting the water away from the house? Again, the yard is very flat. You know, I probably got 90 feet, 100 feet to the back fence, where water drains down through there naturally between me and the guy behind me. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, so channel drain could work. You're talking about between the patio and the foundation of the house. Is that what you're going after?
Yeah. Some, that's where the water tends. It's not coming in the back door, but in the basement, you know, French door. But boy, it's close.
Okay.
And I think I just did this patio a couple years, 2 years ago, and now I've noticed, you know, probably my own, you know, lack of, I don't know if the slope's just, I didn't slope it enough, but.
Well, yeah, you need to have, you know, what we call positive drainage away from the house, you know, when you build the patio. Right. And my next question really was going to be for you. You said the lawn's really flat. You know, to get that water to drain, you know, you need like an inch and a half of fall every 10 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't have that, that's going to be a problem. Then the next option is, you know, to run your exit pipe, you know, like to the back. You may almost have to dig like a dry well or something to bring that pipe into that gravel dry well, you know, to get it to fall, you know, because if it's really flat, you know, that's always a problem.
The pipe doesn't wick
it away by itself. It needs gravity to move the water. So there's different ways to deal with stuff, but that does complicate things. You know, you may have to use, like I said, a dry well or something.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't have to be huge, does it? 3 foot, like where, when it dumps into that, you call it that dry well, just a hole filled with rock or a barrel buried filled with rock with
Basically, okay. Yes. And then you also want to let it be open at the surface so that, you know, the really it should be so that if it fills up, the water can exit around it too, not just back up into your pipe. You know, your pipe.
Can I get one more real quick one? Decorative tree front of the house in that strip between the street and the sidewalk. Had one of those Bradford pears broke off last year, 2 years ago. Obviously don't want to put that in. Other than a red bud, give me a small decorative, your choice for a good St. Louis area or weather. That's kind of a little tree for that.
Oh, there's truly lots of good choices. Yeah. If you don't want, you know, want one tree, I see a lot of them, and it's one of my favorite trees anyway is yellowwood, but that's not really considered a small tree. It'd be more of a medium type tree. Small trees. I've seen, you know, some of the native type things like gray dogwood can make a nice little small tree, and it's very, you know, hardy. It's not like the flowering dogwood. American hornbeam's a nice, very narrow type growing tree, and it's recommended for street tree use, and that's nice. It doesn't really flower. You know, they were blooming not that long ago, but the tree lilacs, you know, there's an option. They're actually really pretty hardy, but they bloom white a little later in the spring, and that could be a decent small flowering street tree, you know.
Thanks for calling in, Mike. We appreciate your questions at 314-436-7900. Last chance to get in. Last segment coming up with Jeff and Glenn on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX. Garden Hotline on KMOX. We've got a few calls to get to. Let's start with Jan. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. My question is not moles. It's about roses. We've done very good in the past with double knockout roses. However, we more recently had these bug things that ate all these holes in them. So we took them out and left last year. We just left all the dirt plain. If we put double knockouts back in that same dirt, is that fungi or bugs going to come back and destroy them?
Well, the holes in the leaves, and actually I forget the exact insect that's doing that, but it's an insect. So the soil shouldn't be the issue there. So I don't think you have any worry about that.
I think you'd be okay, yeah.
The only issue with soil is if you get the Rosetta virus. That's a soil problem.
You ought to consider using a systemic insecticide on those knockout roses, and anything that bites them won't feast the whole time. They'll eat way less than they have been.
Well, and I have tried that from Rolling Ridge here. I have tried that, but they say to put it on the bottom of the leaf and to turn over all those leaves. And do I put it on before I see the holes, or do I wait and start seeing the holes, then apply that?
I think Glenn was talking about a systemic, which would be like a granular or a liquid, but you would actually put it around the base of the plant and let the roots take it up, and then it's in the vascular system of the plant, and then as the insect feeds, it becomes poisoned and they die.
And if you do spray. You stick the wand inside the tree or inside the rose and turn it upwards so that you're spraying on the underside of the leaves if you're going to use
of all of them.
Sure, yeah.
I first plant them, is that when I put either the granular or the liquid in the soil when I first plant them, or once I start seeing the signs?
No, it takes a while to get taken up, so do them when you first plant and maybe do it again 2 months later. It doesn't last forever.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Jen. We appreciate it. Up next, we have Karen. Good morning, Karen. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Well, good morning. I have mole cricket mound. What do I do?
Well, mole crickets are a surface-feeding insect, and they're pretty easily controlled with hose-end applicators of insecticide or a granular application of insecticide applied to wet turf. I will also tell you, mole crickets are just unsightly. They don't really cause any harm to humans, pets, or your turf. They're just unsightly, in my opinion. So talk about something you could live with. Those things might be eating other little gnats and other things in the lawn. So you get rid of them because you don't like them, but know that they're not gonna damage anything in your lawn long term. They're just a nuisance insect, in my opinion.
All right. Next, we have Shirley. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I have two questions. One is about a knockout rose that just grew to be huge, 10, 12 feet tall, and bloomed profusely for years. And then suddenly, and my friend, who's a master gardener, said, oh, you can cut that way down. So I cut it down to about 18 inches, 2 feet from the floor, from the ground. And for the last 2 years, I have barely gotten a rose. And it looks very sickly. So I did buy some a rose fertilizer to put on that. But I'm wondering, has there been something in the last 2 years in the weather that has caused roses, knockout roses, to not do well?
I haven't seen any what I think would be real weather issues other than, and actually knockouts, they are susceptible to some insects like anything. They don't seem to get a ton of fungal problems. One thing
Something?
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Acid, would that be the acids? Are those the insects?
Aphids.
But anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, and so I mean, I would A, fertilize it, and B, make sure we keep the insects away from it, or treat any insect activity.
What you had suggested to the other lady, to put it down on the ground and let the roots. Okay.
That would be great. And then the other thing, like I said, there is a Rosetta virus. We don't have time to really get into that, but you can look that up online and get a visual. If you see a good picture of it, you'll know if you have that problem. If you have that problem, you're not really doing anything with it. So it'll be time to do something else.
Yeah.
Okay, I have another question regarding soil. I have some hostas and some coral bells or heucheras that I want to plant in a it's in the front of my house. And I wanted to use some of the Miracle-Gro, the the moisture retentive, or, you know, that you normally put in a flower pot. I was going to mix that with garden soil. Or what would be the best way to amend this, whatever soil is there?
Yeah, just do that with a 50-50 mix. And know when you read that label carefully, know that when it says moisture retention, doesn't mean you don't water forever. All you do is have less stress in between watering. So,
right.
It's not a panacea.
Will that kind of be there forever, or is that something that, it's only there for a short time?
Yeah, those moisture retention pellets, they might last 1 or 2 years at the most, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Shirley. We appreciate it. We got to try one more call here. Paul, we have like a minute left.
All right. Two fast questions. I'm getting ready to plant knockout roses for the first time ever. Just curious if I should just throw them in the ground or if I need peat moss or some plant mix with it. Or my wife really likes these, she calls them pink puff trees. I don't know what they're called, but where can I find them things?
Pink puff trees.
That's a botanical name.
The pink puff tree. I don't know. I'm thinking smoke trees. I see them blooming now, and maybe that's what she's talking about. They can be green or burgundy color foliage, but I'm not sure about the puff tree. The knockout rose, like any bush, to get it going and established, it would be great if you can add some soil amendments and nutrients with it when you plant it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jeff Kendall from Horseman Brothers Landscaping. Glenn Kramer from Robinson Seed. Guys, that was good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We'll talk to you next time. That is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM. Cam Wex, thanks for calling in. I'm Scott Jagel. I'll talk to you soon.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.